You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Tell Ambassadors Jakar and Londo I want to see them in chambers now.
Yes, number six.
Then invite them again as firmly and as politely as you can.
Captain, either you snore or last night we had a hell of a breach in the hull.
What do I do now?
Old style, you roll over and go to bed. New style, you go out for pizza and I never see you again.
What's inside there?
One moment of perfect beauty.
Hello, and welcome to the Epsilon 3, a Babylon 5 rewatch podcast. Each week, we review an episode of the 1990s sci-fi TV classic, Babylon 5. This week, Season 2, Episode 2, Revelations. I'm Paul.
I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
And we are the Epsilon 3.
And the synopsis for this episode. Franklin takes extreme measures to save Garibaldi. Delenn emerges from her chrysalis. Sheridan's sister arrives for a visit. Lando's dealings with Mr. Morton become even more complex, and Jakar returns from his travels with a dire warning. It all happens in this episode, I tell you. Written by JMS and directed by Jim Johnson, this episode was released on the 9th of November 1994 and takes place from January the 12th to January the 19th, 2259. And our guest stars, Mary Kay Adams as Natoth, Beverly Leach as Elizabeth Sheridan, Macaulay Bruton as Garibaldi's aide, Beth Troussant as Anna Sheridan, David L. Crowley as Lou Welch, Mark Hendrickson as the Narn captain, and James Kiriyama Lem as Medtech. So guys, what did we think of this episode?
I think this episode was probably better than last week's. It had a lot more going on. It filled us in more on who these shadow characters actually are. We get the first hearing of the name Zaha Doom. We get Delenn's rock monster hands. It's got a little bit of everything. And we even get the life giver machine back that I didn't think we were going to get until season four, but it actually comes in this episode here.
Yeah.
A little bit of everything.
But it's a bit too handy, that machine, but I think we'll come to that later on, I think. But I mean, we mentioned last week about Natoth's new voice being too high and too soft. And Jakar has obviously engaged this strange-looking enemy and is on his way back to Babylon 5. Dan, what did you think of this episode?
I think Sheridan really got a chance to sort of show his chops. You know, we got a bit more character growth. He had his visit to Babylon 5 from someone from his past, just like everyone else did in season one. So he got to have that in this episode. Garibaldi, we finally get him back, but because of this machine, which, yes, you promised me that wasn't coming back for three or four seasons, Sean. I thought it was completely lost, but I'd forgotten. So glad it came back.
Yeah.
So glad. Jakar's back finally, and it kind of feels like the Jakar that I sort of remember, rather than the Jakar from the first season, who was a bit more shifty and didn't quite trust him as much. And Malari's back, so I'm happy. So, I enjoyed this a little bit more in this trilogy that I keep on thinking that it is, from Chrysalis to this.
Mm-hmm. So, we seem to have a new restaurant as well. We saw it in the last episode, and we see it again fairly early on in this episode. So have we lost the Zuccalo? Is this a different restaurant?
I think this is a more upscale kind of place for more quieter conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why
where else are you going to go for your smooth jazz? You know.
Yes. But why would they? Why have they moved up to this? I mean, it's a bit strange. They've sort of turned their backs on the lower class bar down below, and now they've gone up to this posh restaurant upstairs. Which seems to be quite a tall thing, like a mushroom shape. It's like got this wide top at the top. But if it's further away from the edge of the actual space station, the gravity would be less.
Mm.
So you eat more.
Well, only if you can keep it on your plate. Well, it floats away.
Everyone has to wear lead boots as they go around, and you know, it's the whole thing.
Lettuce has floated off my plate again.
It's the only place Warren likes to hang out, so everyone wants to be with Warren. That's why they're there this week. So,
We have the new restaurant. Sheridan's sister is visiting as well. Garibaldi is obviously still in the med lab, but he needs an unauthorized alien device to help him recover, as we've mentioned. The doctor says he will be the donor, which is correct. But if it goes wrong, that leaves Sheridan, you know, open to court martial because he's just, you know, authorized this unauthorized usage of this machine. And then Sheridan says, no, I'll do it. You know, hang on a minute. What's going on here? You got the two of the top, you know, level guys arguing over who wants to be killed.
They turned. Fine.
Yeah. They took it. That's fine. It all worked out in the end. Yeah. But it's good. It's good to see that the Sheridan went straight to it and said, "Yes, let's do it." And he didn't go, "Oh, yes, but the implications, and I can't do that, doctor. You can't do that." He was straight for it.
I was kind of disappointed that we didn't get the ombudsman back. And we didn't get, you know, another prisoner brought out as like, you know, your sentence is to save Garibaldi, that sort of thing. And now Garibaldi has to like feel like he owes something to this prisoner. So
I'm surprised we didn't see the doctor trawling the, you know, the brown sector, just dragging somebody out there. Saying, oh, you're going to die soon. Come up here. You'll do. You can save Garibaldi.
Yeah, the guy whose stomach he pumped the other week. That's it. That's the guy.
Yeah, no, this was a lot more streamlined method of just getting things done, which is good, because we don't need all the rigmarole all the time.
Yeah. It's a bit convenient, though, isn't it? I mean, the problem with this machine is it can be dragged out for anything. And it needs to be got rid of fairly quickly, because otherwise they just say, well, why don't we get this machine out to save this young kid? Oh, no, it's only for high executives and, you know, officers.
People in the credits.
Yes. Do you have any lines? No? Good. You're not getting it.
I'm the Babylon 5 librarian. I've got a paper cut. Can I use the machine, please? Yeah. No, go away.
Show me your SAG card first.
Your ambassador number 3. Sorry, no, can't have you. No.
You don't even have a name.
That's how my species works. I'm sorry.
Anyway, Malari and Morden have a meeting.
I believe that this little demonstration will bring you some very interesting propositions.
Yes. But what happens if I'm asked for another of these little demonstrations?
Then we'll provide it. Simply choose your target. A colony. An outpost.
Why don't you eliminate the entire non-homeworld while you're at it?
One thing at a time, Ambassador. One thing at a time.
That gives Londo a little bit of a pause.
It does, doesn't it? Scary.
Yeah, Peter stuff. Jurassic's face, when the reaction that he gives to it was really, really good. Like that, he's actually serious. I believe that he actually means this. But I did enjoy his scene a bit earlier when he was telling off the ambassadors for not being there. Like, Jakar is gone, Delenn is in a cocoon. You know, the Vorlon ambassador Kosh is still, you know, just standing there, just sort of looking at him. Doesn't really react whatsoever. Was talking about her turning into a butterfly. Like, that's not a good enough excuse to not be in the chamber.
There, you see? One deserts his post without any explanation. The other one picks the most breathtakingly inconvenient moment possible to explore new career options, like becoming a butterfly.
That was really good. I did enjoy Malari being back.
Yeah, I think that's where we've lost a bit of humour from the episode, haven't we? We've lost the last two or three have been quite serious things. We needed Malari there to bring a bit of humour to it. Yeah, like lighten up a bit, yeah. But Morden wants to know about any information about the rim that Malari might hear. And then we see that Sheridan is with his sister having a meal, and obviously says he misses his wife. And then we find out that not only she died, but she was also a good friend of his sister's as well. So they've both lost this woman. And it's great. Obviously, you know, he's trying to put off talking about it. He's trying to hide his emotions and what have you. So We'll come to that later on when there's the second scene. But we find that Jakar is back. He has made it back, managed to get back to the station. And Natoth comes into his room and he finds him sat there in the dark.
Weep for the future, Natoth. Weep for us all.
Right, because after 1,000 years, the darkness is coming again.
Yeah. So I think he's found the culprits of the destruction of the base at Quadrant 37. It's the old enemy.
Can anyone answer me what exactly the stone is that he's sitting on, though? He kind of looked like a little gnome, just, you know, those things you have in the front garden, just sitting on a giant stone, contemplating the shadow's return.
I need one of them.
But what else are you going to do?
I just wondered if that's a piece of furniture that I've never noticed before. Just this giant stone just living in his room. Like, who had to move that in? Where were the furniture removal guys on Babylon 5 trying to get that in? It's like, he's got this bloody stone moving in.
I didn't notice it this time, actually. So.
No, I must admit, I didn't see it. No, but while you now you've mentioned it, I want a Narn gnome.
Narn,
yes.
Narn gnome with the red eyes. Just
the red eyes, yeah. Light up in the dark.
But it's handy again that Jaquan, the person that Jakar actually follows in his own religion, accounted the exact enemy that they're about to face for the next few seasons. You know, it's a good thing he wasn't a follower of a different person of the Narn homeworld who wrote a completely different book and wasn't even there during the first conflict. So pretty helpful that happens.
Very convenient.
Yeah.
Very convenient. It's almost like someone's writing it.
Yeah. So Delenn is hatching. Garibaldi is awake.
Did you catch what he said when he woke up?
What's up, Doc?
Exactly. I laughed.
Yeah. That was so Garibaldi, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's got to be hit. That's the only thing he could have said, isn't it? He loves his cartoons, as we established in the first season.
Oh, yeah.
But his aide is there in the background. Dum, dum, dum.
Not looking shifty-eyed at all.
Oh, no. I mean, so there's his boss lying on a slab. And he's, you know, obviously he's come to see, ostensibly, he's come to see how he is, make sure he's okay. You know, so surely he would show a bit of concern and respect and say, how is he? How is he? Especially when he finds out that he doesn't know that it was him that shot him. He should have gone up there and said, oh, Mr. Garibaldi, great to see that you are awake. No, as soon as he finds out he's okay, he buggers off. Well, that's not shifty at all, is it?
That was my airplane moment this week, just because he's standing there and no one approaches him. He's got a gun in hand. He's literally hand on the holster. It's like, why is he doing that in the med lab? Yeah. It's like the bit in Airplane where the guy who's the terrorist is going through security and they just wave him through, but they wait for the lady, the really gorgeous lady, and stop her instead. Then no one's watching him. It's fine. He's just called aid. We don't care about his name. It's fine.
Yeah. I think we had the same guard, obviously, because they were, you know, letting through the old woman with the guns and the things. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, at least we find out his name is Jack.
Yes. Just well, was that before or after he was taken away? But in the meantime, Delenn has hatched, and she's not a butterfly.
No, she's a burn victim.
I thought she was a member of the Fantastic Four.
Right, she looks like the thing.
The thing.
Yeah. Rock monster.
Yeah. I love the way the doctor then said, he starts, you know, he's obviously called in to make sure she's okay. And he starts feeling her hand. The next minute, a bit of her breaks off.
Is that supposed to be like that?
Is that supposed to happen?
I don't know.
No, it's not. Nah,
you've broken Delenn, for goodness sake, man.
Who am I? Who am I, doctor? What's happening to me?
You broke my arm.
Thank God, you're like a boiled egg. We just have to take the shell off.
Oh, yeah. The only thing that was missing was him cracking her with a spoon.
This is my old recipe my grandfather told me.
Yeah, better get security in. Bring some soldiers.
Minbari toast.
It's crunchy off. Even in milk.
Anyway, Sheridan basically blames himself for his wife's death. I mean, you know, doesn't everybody? So But it's just a sort of, you know, is there helping him out. And it's a good bit of backstory, and we find out a lot, you know, a lot about his history and why he's obviously single now and all this type of thing. So, you know, that's good. Jigar tells Mallory and Sheridan about Zahadum. And then Mallory tells Morden that Jigar is sending out some, you know, a ship to go and have a look in that sector. Try and find Zahadum.
These are the two characters I remember. You know, the slightly more spiritual, more willing to work with people, Jigar, and then the devious, backhanded Mallory. This is the these are the two characters I really remember.
Well, this is where it seems as though it's swapped, because in the first season, you know, Mallory was the spiritual guy that seems to be getting on with everybody, although he's a bit of a bit narky sometimes, but he was a friend of everybody, and you know, he likes a good time. And Jigar was the aggressive Narn, that's the aggressive person, the lizard faced, you know, bad guy. But then it swapped around. So Garibaldi gets hold of Talia Winters to find out who shot him, so she can nip into his mind and see if she can work out something.
It's going to have to be a deep scan, though, because you're in pretty rough shape.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. But Lou's back. Lou is the one who brought her in.
Yeah. But not only that, they realise that it's the aid. And so they have to go and get the aid. So they obviously, a nice little bit of subterfuge there. The guy goes into his into the aide's office and says,
"Hey, you got to come see this."
"What is it? I'm kind of busy here."
"Ambassador Delenn's out of that weird cocoon, and she's got wings just like a butterfly. You got to come see."
"Make my fagin' solar year."
Dirty Lou gets hold of him.
Yeah.
Dirty Lou. Like, not Dirty Harry, Dirty Lou. He says, "Go ahead, make my solar year."
That's right.
And they're all in the paintballing gear. It came back. Yes. I was so glad they were in the proper gear. Oh, man. And I'd give anything for a Lou backstory. I want a little book on Lou and, like, you know, his tough, rough upbringing. You know, "You're a dirty cop. I'm going to bring you to justice." Ah, oh, brilliant. This is the guy I like. I knew I liked him. I like the cut of his jib.
Yeah.
Well, if you like the cut of Lou's jib, you'll also like the cut of the jib of this promo for another podcast right here on the ESO Network.
Oh, I was wondering how you were going to get in there.
I was trying to figure out how to get it in.
Oh, good.
There you go.
So good.
If you were a monster kid growing up, if you enjoyed Saturday mornings watching Monster Movie Matinee, or staying up all night watching the midnight feature, then Monster Attack is the podcast for you. We not only look at classic old monster movies, we share our experience growing up as a monster kid. Join us every Monday for Monster Attack.
And if you don't like the cut of that jib, there are plenty of other podcasts here on the ESO Network to choose from.
So many jibs.
So many jibs.
So many jibs.
So little time. So how about those shadows blowing up the Narn cruiser? That was pretty brutal.
Yeah, let's get back on track. Get back on track. Stay on target.
Stay on target.
the aide tells Lou that he's working for an organization higher than the Home Guard. And the new president wants the aide back on Earth for interrogation because he thinks...
You know what? I don't trust that president. He's got a weak chin.
I am really, really confused. Like, how does the justice system work? Like, can a president just call up a captain of some random... Like, now, can they just call up the guy in charge of a military base somewhere off in far distant and just ask for everything, the extradition of a prisoner or the records sent directly to his office, not some other security guy in the Pentagon, but directly to his office. Oh. Can they do that?
He's the president. He's the president. Yeah. He can do what he wants.
Putin can do it.
But again, I mean, just like Lanier last week, who was given the job of like telling the big story, the big secret from the Minbari, you give it to your junior to do, don't you? So you got plausible deniability. It's a bit...
Yeah, what's General Haig doing these days?
Yeah. Weird.
Sitting in his chair.
Yeah, that's it.
With his braids.
Clearly not a smart president.
Yeah, so the captain of the Narn ship reaches Zahadum and finds the shadows are waiting for him and finds a new way to die again. This is the same Narn captain.
Well, how many brothers? You know the old expression, right? If you go to Zahadum, you will die.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Just like your brother, the other brother, the older brother, the younger brother. Yeah, yeah.
The quintuplets.
Master number 17.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Where's that guy Saving Private Ryan? You know, there's one left in all of the Narn fleet, and they have to go and rescue him and get him back to his mother. That's it.
That's it, yeah. But yeah, Jakar's not happy. He's suspicious of Malari. He's obviously getting the idea now that something's going on. You know, he says there's only one other person who knew that the ship was going to Zahadum. But anyway, yes, and then carries on. Yeah, he obviously thinks Malari's up to something, but he can't prove anything.
He'd be right.
Yeah. Then Delenn is revealed. He's got this massive hoodie on, a bit big, which is now half human, half Minbari-ish type of thing. New hairstyle. Well, she's got hair for a start.
Yeah, true.
And less bone.
Mm, yes. Mm. Although I must admit, in the flashback in the previous episode, I thought she was sort of a little bit half and half there. She didn't quite have the full makeup on. Although she didn't have the hair. The chin wasn't quite so square.
Mm.
And then Sheridan is finally given closure by a message from his wife to his sister. And we find out the aide's name is Jack. And he gave the same salute to Garibaldi as Bester did when he knew there was something that Garibaldi couldn't prove. So Garibaldi links the Psi-Corps to the new president. And the prisoner leaves the station and is transferred to another Earth Force ship that has Earth Force markings, but is not an Earth Force ship.
Mystery deepened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, let's move on to some trivia. The poem that Jakar reads to Nartoth is The Second Coming by William Butler Yeats. I'm not a big poem fan, so I don't know.
Yep, same.
Londo's line, "Why don't you eliminate the entire Narn homeworld while you're at it?" was later one of the phrases featured in the opening sequences of Season 5. When Garibaldi interviews Jack about the presidential assassination conspiracy, Jack salutes Garibaldi and says, "Be seeing you," the same way Bester saluted Sinclair in Babylon 5. Mind war. The gesture and phrase are used similarly in The Prisoner in 1967. The first view from inside hyperspace. It can be seen right before the Narn battleship is destroyed, which I didn't notice, to be honest.
Mm.
And when Anna Sheridan says, "Someone once said that love knows no borders," she's referring to Mr. Morton, who said that to her. Now, I don't know when that was said to her.
Is this a book?
Must be.
Or some expanded thing?
It must be, because they never spoke. She was dead. Okay, whatever. This is the second time a mention of the Earth cruiser Von Braun. As Sheridan's sister is departing the station. I agree. And spoiler, the comment that Sheridan makes to his sister over dinner about Babylon 5 being like his own country foreshadows him declaring Babylon 5 independent from Earth in the following year. So there you go. So, Sean, Star Trek connections.
There are a few, actually. Both of the Sheridan women have Star Trek connections. We've got Beverly Leach, who played the sister Elizabeth. She was in a Star Trek game from 2001 called Star Trek Away Team. And she was also Dela in the Voyager episode Nightingale. And then, of course, we've got Beth Toussaint, or Toussaint, or whoever, who plays Anna Sheridan in that recording. And, of course, we all know her as Ishara Yar in the TNG episode Legacy, the sister of Tasha.
Yes, I wouldn't have recognized her. It's only because I obviously read it in the trivia.
Yes,
I spotted her, but I wouldn't have recognized her from...
No, she didn't look the same. And then there was one more. He played a guard, Warren Tabata. He was in Enterprise. He was a Horizon crewman on the Horizon episode, and he was also a TNG episode. He was a colonist on Moab 4 in the episode The Masterpiece Society.
Very good.
Not a lot of connections this week, but a few good ones.
Yeah. So we move on to our ratings. We rate each episode out of five jump gates because of Babylon 5. And IMDb gave this 7.8, just like last week's episode. So, Sean, what did you think of this episode?
I thought this week's episode was more action-packed, a lot of good revelations, so to speak, and I am giving it a 4 out of 5.
Nice. Dan?
Yeah, I enjoyed this one. Again, it's the last part of the trilogy that I was sort of seeing it as. Sheridan and Bruce Boxleitner are given something, you know, some real acting chops, something that you know, at least makes him more a believable and flawed character. It's not just this action hero captain who's just going to come in and solve their day. He blames himself for lots of different things. He still sees himself as Starkiller, and not everybody's going to get on with him. We get Jakar back and he feels like he's there. You've got Malari's back and he is now delivering like the underhandedness with Mr. Morden. Garibaldi is now awake again, and thank goodness for reflective surfaces, eh? Otherwise, we would never have found out who that was going to be behind him. Yeah,
that was a bit convenient.
It was very convenient. Maybe it's something that the Psycor treat you, just look out for reflective surfaces. Yeah, but there were still things that bugged me, and why didn't they bring in the ombudsman? I felt like there were scenes missing, like with Sheridan actually being attached to the machine and seeing the life force going that way. I didn't know if I'd missed something in like the IMDb TV edit that maybe you guys had seen and I hadn't, but there was no scenes where they were actually hooked up to the machine giving him the life energy. I just, even just a few seconds would have just, I don't know, paid it off for me a little bit more. And did anyone notice the medical screens as well? What was going on? Last week and this week, it's exactly the same. It's basically just a sticker with the exact same stuff on it. It's not, you know, it's not a pre-programmed little widget. It's no LCARS system, nothing like TNG. It's just a sticker that's exactly the same readouts, which means Garibaldi was the same when he was in coma or awake.
Okay. I thought you were going to say, well, he's in a coma, so it's going to be the same screen. But no, have you woken up as well?
No, no, the screen did not change in the background. It's the exact same one, and it's just a sticker. So our cutbacks must be really bad in the medbay in Babylon 5. So it really stood out for me. And there was another thing. The editing was really strange. Now, this is something that, again, it might be just be the IMDb TV edit, but they flip between the remaster and the standard definition. So there are scenes where it's the old grainy, hazy footage in the exact same scene with no cuts. So there's a part where Sheridan is talking to his sister and then it just cuts to a new part of the scene and it's in the remastered version. And it was very jarring to watch both versions at the exact same time. There's no sort of commercial cut, and it's just because it's the new part of the episode. It's in the same scene. They go from one to the other. So it just threw me out a little bit. So it's not a 4. But I'm going to go exactly the same as last week because there are still niggles, 3.75.
Okay, fair enough. I'm watching it on a... I have the DVD set, but I've lent that to my dad, so I've burnt the DVDs down to... so I can see them on the computer screen. So I don't get a particularly good picture anyway because it's not... Throwing it up onto a big screen, it doesn't work well. But I'm just watching it for the, you know, for the effect of it. So I get sort of blurred images now and again, and it seems to be, you know, some bits look better than others, you know, whether that's just the way it's burnt or whether it's the actual raw footage, I don't know. But I thought this was another good episode, and I thought it was slightly better than last week because everybody was back, and we had, you know, like I say, Malari and Jakar were back, and we got that little bit of humour, and we got that... Jakar come back and find out about the shadows, and Garibaldi waking up, you know, finally getting rid of his aide. We find out that something's going on in Earth Force, or, you know, the president isn't quite what you'd like him to be. So there's a lot of intrigue there as well. But most of all, you get to see some brilliant acting by Bruce Boxleitner. And it's so good to see that, because instantly, you know, we're going to go forward with this, and he's going to be, you know, he is capable of taking the show and being the leader of it. It's just, you know, it's really good to see. The only thing I'd seen him in before this, obviously, was Tron. I didn't know anything about him. I hadn't seen anything he'd done after that. So I was really pleased to see that. So that's why I've given it a 4.1, which is just a little bit more than previous week, because I thought it was slightly better. So, yeah, that's basically the episode right there. So that is the end of this episode. Join us again next week when we will be discussing Season 2, Episode 3, The Geometry of Shadows.
Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed. And everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. And what rough beast. Its hour come round at last. Slouches toward Bethlehem to be born.
If you have any thoughts on this episode, why not send in some feedback to the epsilon3@gmail.com. That's 3 spelled T-H-R-E-E, not the number. Or you can find us on our Facebook page. Just search for the Epsilon 3.
Well, if you have any other problems, any other questions at all, just ask.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.